So the report that I wanted to talk about today, which we released a little while ago, is the Connecting People with Progress report, a copy of the infographic of which you've got on your table there. And I'd encourage you to have a look at it, because there's heaps of information in there. And once you've had a look at that, you could actually go on the website and have a look at the full report, ceda.com.au, because there's just a huge amount of information in the report. And I was reminded of that this morning when I was flipping through it to have a look at some of the contributions that our panellists made to the report. So there's a huge amount of information, some of which I will literally skate over in my comments today, just to give you a bit of a sense of what CEDA's focus is and really where we're heading with our research agenda for the next couple of years. So by way of background, the past 12 months for CEDA has been a year when we've been trying to re-energise and reposition our research agenda. When I joined the organisation, one of the things that people were saying to me was that we do a lot of fantastic research, but that we were a bit episodic in our research. So we would do one really great report, and then we would move on and do another really great report, and so on and so on. And really what people were looking for us to do a bit more of was to sort of stick to a topic, if I can put it that way, or stick to some issues which would enable us to sort of get our teeth into them and them to sort of engage with our research in a more consistent and proactive way, if I can put it that way. So we've done a couple of pieces of research this year. At the beginning of the year, we started off with a look at inequality, which of course has been a topic which has been engaging the media and the wider community to quite an extent over recent years. So we had a look at inequality and what we felt were the key issues there. In the middle of the year, we followed that up with our Community Pulse survey. That's available online as well. We also have hard copies of that report, Community Pulse 2018. Which was our effort to understand how the community was seeing economic growth and how the community was seeing policy issues that mattered most to them. And the really stark thing that came from that survey, which was nationwide, was that actually most people in the community do not feel connected to economic growth. So while we talk about Australia's fantastic track record of 27 years of sustained economic growth, most people in the community don't feel that they've benefited from that growth personally. And in fact, only 5% of survey respondents felt that they personally had benefited greatly from that long track record of economic growth. Now, obviously that's a real eye-opener for us, isn't it? Because as we want to talk about economic reform and economic development to enhance the livelihoods of all people in Australia, if people don't feel connected to that, it's really difficult to get the sort of support for tough reforms that we need to embark on, quite simply because the community is not believing that those reforms have anything to do with them. So that was a really important piece of work for us. And the other thing that we did in that survey was actually ask people what were the policy issues that most mattered to them from their personal perspective, but also from the nation's perspective. And they gave us some really clear messages, which I'll come to later when I talk to how we've recast our reform agenda. So having those results sort of in our back pocket, if you like, one of the things that we wanted to do was actually look at the whole purpose of economic development. So we are, of course, the Committee for Economic Development of Australia. And if people don't connect to economic growth, our question was, how can we connect them to economic development, and what do we actually think economic development means for us as a nation right here, right now? So the report, Connecting People with Progress, was really aiming at doing a couple of things. One, understanding how well we think Australia has performed over recent decades. What has economic development delivered to the community more broadly? What do we think we've done well? What were the factors that underpinned the good things about economic development? Where do we think we haven't done as well as we might? And what does that all mean for the future of economic development in Australia? So if you go back and say, start with, what do we think we've done well? Well, Australia has done well. 27 years of sustained economic growth has delivered tremendous benefits, and it has delivered those benefits quite widely. The fact of the matter is Australia's economy has been more resilient than almost any other economy in the world, and that resilience has underpinned benefits that have flowed widely. If you go through the report, you'll see many of those listed, but just to give you some examples, since 1960, GDP per capita has tripled. We've got more people employed than ever before. We've seen more people finishing year 12. Life expectancy has increased, and so on and so forth. These are tangible benefits that are meaningful for everyone in our community. But of course, we haven't done so well in some areas, and the report calls those out as well. There are too many people, at least 700,000, who aren't connecting to prosperity, who remain in deep disadvantage and poverty, who are struggling to get work. We've seen an increase in the long-term unemployed in this country. And of course, if you look at some of the environmental indicators and the absence of things like a cohesive approach to emissions, these are areas where you would call out that we haven't done as well as we would have liked. So that's a little bit of a quick snapshot of the scorecard, if you like, of economic development. But then what we wanted to do was to understand, well, what do we think are the key features that have been important to the good things that have been achieved in Australia's economic development? And we call out a few of those in the report. There are things that we think are sort of features of Australia's brand of economic development, if you want to put it that way. And what are those features? Well, firstly, we've sustained incredibly strong immigration, stronger than most in the OECD. That is an absolute standout feature of Australia's economic growth and development. We've had very strong institutions, including our federal system of government. We've had policies that have connected business and the community to the big structural opportunities that occurred over the last two or three decades. Globalisation. Our policies set us up to benefit from the opportunities created by globalisation. And fourth, we've had a really strong social compact. And that is a really standout feature of the way Australia has gone about economic growth and development. And it is a standout when you look at many other OECD countries. We've redistributed income and we've maintained a social safety net that has looked after most in our community. So they're key features that we think about when we think about reform, what are the issues that we want to retain from that? What are the features that we want to retain? And what are the challenges that we're going to have to adapt to when we think about those key features and how we position our reform agenda in the future? So as we think about demographic shifts, as we think about technological shifts, how do we have to reposition those key features? What is our future-looking view around immigration, around institutions, around our social compact and social safety net, and how do we have to reform those in order to ensure that the next decades of economic development deliver not only similar benefits to what we've seen in the past, but also enable us to address some of those areas where we haven't done as well as we might? And that's the key issues that we were looking at in the Connecting People with Progress report. One of the other things that we wanted to do was to think a bit about how policy reform has been conducted. So if you look in the past, everyone in this room would be pretty familiar with some of the big ticket reform agendas that have really set us up. And they were big ticket reform agendas. A little bit of, not set and forget, but you do them once and they continue to deliver benefits literally for decades. Floating the exchange rate, opening up the economy, introducing competition into key sectors in our economy. These are huge fundamental changes that transformed our economy and have delivered benefits which we are still enjoying today. But when you think about the challenges before us, the view that CEDA took was that actually we need to develop a different way of thinking about reform. The idea that you can set a policy reform now and that even in 5 years' time that reform is likely to be effective and relevant seems more unlikely today than it was in the past. If you think about the pace of change, particularly around technology and data, the idea that you're not going to have to continually be looking at your policy settings and challenging whether they remain relevant is something that we think needs really serious discussion. So the way that we formed our thinking or our agenda, if you like, was not to present the top 10 list, if you like, of the reforms that must be undertaken to guarantee future prosperity. what we did was look at five key themes, which we describe as a policy stack, a range of issues that are complementary and must be pursued together, and a range of issues that are going to have to be continually updated and reviewed to ensure that the settings that we have for business and for our community remain relevant, robust, and effective in delivering the outcomes that we want. And you'll see in the infographic the five key areas that we've highlighted. Population, as I've said, an absolute feature of Australia's economic growth, strong population growth and strong immigration growth. But also something that we haven't done as well on recently, quite simply because infrastructure hasn't kept up with population. Technology and data. I talked about Australia doing so well at connecting to the big wave of opportunity that presented itself through globalisation and, in fact, the rise of Asia. As we look forward, the next big wave of opportunity is going to come from technology and data and how we position ourselves in business and as a community to make the most of those opportunities. These are not policies that will stand still. Workplace, workforce, and collaboration. Again, anyone who's had any conversations about the impact of technology, automation, etc., knows that our workforce and our workplaces must change. We are already seeing changes today in how employers hire people and the sorts of skills that they're looking for. This is only going to accelerate in the future. We must have conversations about how we can get better collaboration in the workforce and at the workplace to enable the sorts of improvements that will support strong wages growth, productivity, and employment growth. And the simple fact is that Australia has absolutely failed to have a joined-up conversation on these issues for decades. And we see it as imperative to have that conversation in the future. Institutions. I talked about the role of institutions in the context of our federation, amongst others. But one of the big challenges for how we're going to develop as a country in the future is how our institutions work together. The idea that we can pursue the biggest challenges facing our country in silos of business, government, community, never working across each other, is just naive. If we are going to tackle the biggest challenges, if we are going to make the most of the biggest opportunities, we are absolutely going to have to do that with institutions working together, and our institutions are going to have to change if they're going to do that well. I was saying just earlier that the idea that our public sector can keep abreast of every change in technology and in the face of the pace of that change in technology is absolutely ludicrous, to think that people in the public sector are going to be able to do that. That is not a criticism. In my view, it's a reality. And the question then is, how does government and the bureaucracy transform itself so that it can work with business to stay abreast of the biggest, most important changes that are happening in our economy and in our businesses, to make sure that the policies that they set are the ones that will deliver the best benefits for our community and for business? So we are going to have to rethink how our institutions operate and how they operate together. And finally, the fifth element of our policy stack is, of course, critical services, which we'll be talking to today. When we did the Community Pulse survey, I said that there was a very clear message that came through from the community around the things that mattered the most to them. It didn't matter where you were. It didn't matter what state you were in, it didn't matter whether you were in a city, a region, or a remote location, and it didn't matter whether you were 18 or 85. There was a very, very clear message. The things that mattered were basic health care, aged care, chronic diseases, and people are worried about crime. These are the things that matter to people's everyday lives, and housing, of course. So there was a really clear message for us. And the other clear message that came through when we asked people about what mattered to them is, this is what matters to them, and how are they looking for the nation to solve those issues? They are still looking to government to invest in more public hospitals, for instance, as the solution to better basic health care. Now, I can understand why that's the solution that they see, but I think, as we'll uncover in our panel discussion today, that is not a viable solution. And it's not a viable solution for so many reasons, not least because expectations are rising. Technology is enabling us to do more than we've ever done before with healthcare, but at an absolute cost. And the system is already not coping with the demands and expectations on it, not least because of an ageing population. So hopefully we'll explore some of the key issues today in our panel discussion. But let me give you a few little stats that I think will sort of set the scene, if you like. A couple of our panellists, Melina and James, were very kind enough to have contributed to our Connecting People to Progress report, writing takeouts for us on what they saw as some of the key issues that we should be thinking about. And both of their contributions included some statistics that were quite literally startling. In Melina's case, she talked very positively about the role of cooperatives and mutuals, but also talked about some workforce challenges. And I think it's really fascinating when you go to any discussion around technology, and the tendency is to talk about the destruction of jobs. Yet if you go to any conversation in the human services space, the conversation is entirely about where are we going to find the workers we need in the future. So in Melina's contribution, she talks about the tens of thousands of workers, additional workers, that we will need by next year just to meet the demand for services. And then if you cast forward to 2050, the number is something like 1 million additional workers, which is just mind-blowing. In James's report, he talks about the sorts of investments we're going to need if we're going to keep up with the demand for aged care and hospital beds alone. And those numbers go something like this. $24 billion additional CapEx spending by 2025, and an additional $13 billion every year for operating costs. Again, absolutely staggering numbers, and I think numbers that we would all find difficult to swallow and all accept that we're going to have to develop new approaches. If you looked at the Harper Review, if you looked at the Productivity Commission 5-year productivity review, each of these reports focuses very squarely on the need to deliver human services and critical services differently to the ways in which we have done that in the past. And so we'll have interesting conversations around that. And finally, we're going to talk a little bit about justice today. And that is another area came out in our community poll survey. People were definitely worried about crime, about feeling safe in their homes and communities. And when we asked them really about the ways in which that they might like to see those issues addressed, they sort of reached for a pretty traditional lever, which is the sort of tougher sentencing, more people in prisons lever. But again, we know the numbers there. You'll find those in our report as well, where we've seen an increase in the number of people in prisons. So the number of people in prisons has increased 40% between June 2013 and June 2018. And we've seen rising recidivism. So 44% of people who've been in prison when released are likely to be in prison again within 2 years. 44%, not likely, they will be. That's what the statistics show you. Now, for every day someone spends in prison, that costs roughly $270. And over the last 3 years, both Victoria and New South Wales each have been spending $1 billion on prisons. I think we could all agree that there are better uses for that money. So these are all issues that matter to every person in this country. They're all issues that are of fundamental importance to how we think about economic development. And in a positive note, they're all issues that CEDA feels that it can engage with in a way that we can deliver conversations and debate and research to drive better outcomes and policy solutions, not just by ourselves, but working collaboratively across sectors and with our membership, because our membership extends across all sectors and all states. And so when we put together our policy stack and we focused on those issues, we tried to pick the issues that we thought most mattered to people. We picked the issues that we think most matter for economic development. And we focused on the issues that we think, with our membership, we'll be able to drive meaningful change on. So that, in a nutshell, is our Connecting People with Progress report. As I said earlier, I would encourage you to go and have a look at it. For anyone who needs any statistic on how Australia's done in the last 20 or 30 years, you'll find it there, so it's a ready reckoner for all of you. And with that, I'm going to close my comments. I'll be back up on stage to introduce our panellists, and hopefully you've got plenty of questions to make that an interesting conversation. Thank you very much.